Just keep our senior pastor in prayer. He's away this week. He's having a very well earned rest this week. So keep him in prayer that God will keep his hands upon him and will bring him back home safely. Today I'm going to speak about the existence of God. Now, this was a bit hard for me as God put this word on my heart, the existence of God. I said, God, everyone knows about the existence of God at church. It's different if I was preaching an outreach or something, but to preach about the existence of God in church, everyone knows about God. Everyone believes in God. And so I tried to do another sermon, but that didn't work. So sometimes we can resist God, don't we? We think, no, it's not what I want to do, or that's not from you, that's coming from me. But we have to be obedient to what God says. And for whatever reason God wants me to preach about the existence of God, I probably never know. But I think Elder Gary, as he spoke through communion, more or less confirmed what God wants me to share with you. So just start by, because I think that you agree with me, that as Christians, we are constantly challenged by unbelievers, by atheists, skeptics, and the hecklers to prove that there is a God. Have you ever had that, or is it just me, where people want you to bring God here and say, here is God, now do you believe? And that includes not only just people in general, it includes family, friends of ours. And people will say things like, when I see this person healed, for example, John Grzebich, when I see this person healed from cancer, I will believe that there's a God. Or they might see someone in a wheelchair and they say, well, when that person gets out of his wheelchair and start walking, then I will believe in God. Or they might even say, when God make me win the lotto, I will believe. And you might laugh at that, but I prayed that prayer many times. I was a bit of a gambler when I was young, and I'd say to God, God, when I win, those days it wasn't like today, poker machines and stuff. It was more or less cards, poker, and playing on football. And every time I played, I used to lose. So I used to say, God, you're not real. Because if you was real, you would help me to win. So, but you see, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, it says, do not test the Lord your God. So we should never put God to the test. But even if people did receive or seen miracles, there is no guarantee that they are going to believe, are they? There's no guarantee. In fact, in John chapter 12, verse 37, let's read that together. John chapter 12, verse 37. Even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. And so seeing Jesus do miracles is no guarantee that anyone is going to believe. Okay, so this is difficult for natural men to believe in something that he or she cannot see, touch, or feel. So we're going to open to a very important verse that will explain this whole service in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. So if you got your Bibles there, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. I would like to read it also from the King James Version, and then I will read it from the NIV. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Okay, now we'll read it from the NIV, which says this. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Okay, so what it's saying here, the natural person does not have the Spirit of God. In contrast to the Christian who does have the Spirit. Now, there's still people who call themselves Christians, or they say, I believe in God. And they believe in God the Father, they believe in Jesus the Son. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, so, well, the Holy Spirit, yes, it was for the days of the apostles, not for today. That's when they received the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says that we would, without the Spirit, we would not understand the Word of God. In fact, I had an uncle who, on his dying bed a couple of years ago, we went to speak to him before he passed away. He passed away, I think, the next day after we've seen him. And we said to him, have you ever received the Holy Spirit into your life? And he said, no, I never heard such a thing. You have to receive the Holy Spirit. The only Holy Spirit I know is when he does the sign of the cross, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we explained to him, and then we asked him if he wanted to receive the Holy Spirit. He said, yes, I do. And he's done that. We prayed with him. And the moment he prayed the prayer, we prayed the sinner's prayer with him, he said, I'm ready to go now. He felt that peace. He said, I'm ready to go now. And the next day, I think it was the next day, he passed away. And so that's why the Bible says that the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them. Now that makes sense to me all of a sudden. Does it make sense to you? When you're talking with people and they seem to don't want to know, or they don't understand what you're saying. Because I remember even before I became a Christian myself, you know, many people used to tell me a lot about the Bible and stuff, but nothing made any sense to me. And when I did start to read the Bible, and I read it over and over again, it was for the wrong reasons, not because I wanted to become a Christian. It was more to criticize than anything else. But that didn't make any sense at the time to me at all. Now it makes sense why I was reading the Bible and couldn't understand a thing. Nothing was clicking. In fact, it was boring. To me, reading the Bible was boring before. I would read it and say, how could people bother with reading all this stuff? It just doesn't make any sense. But now it does, because I didn't have the Holy Spirit. But I really believe that for those of us who receive the Holy Spirit, and my prayer is that all of you received the Holy Spirit. If there's anyone here that maybe hasn't, it's never too late. It's not too late. So I really believe that for those of us who receive the Holy Spirit, the problem of unbelief is solved in the first verse of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, where it says, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And also we need to remember that the Bible is not a textbook that attempts to prove the existence of God. Somehow people want proof. Show me God. Show me where God is. Because if the Bible did prove the existence of God, then we wouldn't need faith. And the Bible in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says that without faith we cannot please God. Can we? Now, to me, the Bible opens with a very positive fact that God does exist. The Bible plainly states that it is the fool who denies the existence of God. In fact, in Psalms chapter 14, the first part of verse 1, it says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. There is no God. So who is the fool, according to the Bible? The person not accepting the Spirit of God in his or her life. Now, the greatest proof, apart from Scripture to me, of the existence of God is our daily fellowship with Him in prayer, when we spend that time with God in prayer. If you ask me, how do I know there is a God? Which many people ask that question. I'm sure all of you have been asked that question. How do you know there is a God? I know that there is a God because I talked to Him today, and He heard and He answered the prayer of my heart. That's how I know there's a God, because I speak to Him. He heard and answered my prayer when He healed me after a work accident. I'm not going to spend time on that because I shared that testimony before, when God completely healed me after a work injury a few years ago. You see, I cannot bring God physically here. None of us can. We can't bring God and say, here is God, now do you believe? We can't do that. But what I could do is stand here all day telling you about the many, many times that God answered my prayers. When God answered my prayers, the time I was told about, I was about to have a heart attack. And again, I'm not going to dwell on that because I've shared some of this stuff with you. But when my doctor told me, you're about to have a heart attack, you need to get into hospital in 5 minutes. And when I got to hospital, they confirmed, the specialist told me, the good news was I haven't had a heart attack yet, but you're about to have one, and we need to put you in a room with electrical equipment. And the only prayer I prayed, I remember, is, God, if there's any blockage there, please unblock it. And after all the tests and a couple of days in hospital, they couldn't find anything wrong at all. Also, the time when I was very sick because of a super bug that got me, where they almost ran out of the antibiotics they were giving me. I couldn't, they couldn't give me any stronger antibiotics than they were giving me. And during the night, I cried out to God. I was just on my last bottle, cried out to God, and I was healed that night. Also, the time I got electrocuted, 8,000 volts of live wires. Now, no one survives 8,000 volts of live wires. And the boss of my company wouldn't believe it. They said, there's no way you could have touched those wires and you're alive. We would have picked you up with a shovel. And I could prove it because the equipment I was using melted. It was metal pole, and it just melted where it touched the those wires. Also, the time I nearly fell into a hedge, which I shared with you not long ago, where someone pulled me back, when I nearly fell down the hatch of a ship. Someone pulled me back, someone that I've never met before and I never seen after. And I worked there for 30 years. So I could spend hours and hours telling you about how I know that there is a God. Let me tell you this morning that God does exist. That God is real, that God is a good God, and that God never gives up on any of us, none of us. And, you know, sometimes, yes, we go through hard time, and Pastor Chris spoke about that, not last week, I think the week before, about that we all go through hard time. And some of you may well be going through hard time today, you know. Many people this time of the year go through a financial crisis. Sometimes it's self-inflicted, but after Christmas, you know, some of you might be in pain this morning, physically in pain. And some of you may have problems with your relationship. I was watching the news this morning, and they said in January there's 30% more relationships breakdown than any other month of the year. Or maybe you're going through doubt this morning. Maybe the enemy is trying to put that seed of doubt into your mind to say, Maybe there is no God. Maybe you are wasting your time believing in God. How do you know there's a God? Maybe that's happening. Maybe that's what the enemy is trying to do to you. But let now, say, having said that, let me make this very clear. My belief in God is not conditional. It's not conditional upon he answers my prayer. My belief in God is unconditional, the same way that he loves me. Now, having said that, let's see if what proof we can find, first of all, from the scripture about the existence of God. So let's look at Psalms chapter 19, verse 1. It's Psalm chapter 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. We see here the beauty and the glory of the heavens. They continuously declare the glory of God. And this psalm begins with a meditation on the works of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. We can hardly read this verse without remembering Genesis 1:1, isn't it? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And as we listen to the heavens, we hear God's glory. The glory of God is his splendor. And I believe not even the hardest of hearts can see, for example, a blazing sunset over the Pacific without some sense of awe. Last year, as we were on a cruise in the Pacific, during the evening, just before sunset, you'll see people going up on deck, heaps of people, and they're just staring, waiting for this sunset to come down. And as people look at this sunset coming down, it's blazing. These people stand in silence, everyone just in silence. And they are continual witness to the heavens, declaring the glory of God. Do you think that happens by chance every evening? That beautiful sunset, doesn't happen by chance. Let's look at Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. God's invisible attributes, such as his eternal power and Godhead, meaning his divine nature, can be clearly seen by contemplating his awesome works in all of creation. All of creation. And this verse goes even further and suggests that creation even teaches about the eternal power of the Godhead. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures now. First from Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Verses 23 and 24. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. Now what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And also Romans chapter 2, verse 15. Since they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them. You know, some unbelievers or atheists, whatever you want to call them, may claim that their conscience does not tell them about God, does not tell them about God at all. But it is doubtful, I think, if genuine atheists can be found. For at best, they are people who have silenced their conscience by blatant unbelief. Some people are so blind out there that they may even deny the existence of the sun in the sky. But that does not alter the fact that the sun exists, rises and sets each day. But none are so blind as to those who refuse to see it. Some people completely refuse to see God's amazing creation. We just have to go out there and see God's creation. But some people will just refuse to see it. They want to believe what they want to believe. And why do you think that's happening? Because as we said earlier, the Holy Spirit is not within them. But you see, the honest man will find that the inner, still small voice says that God exists and God is alive today. You know, many people deny the existence of God, not because they cannot find him, but because they are afraid to face the responsibility of being accountable to him after they die. See, unbelief or atheism is one of the devil's tools to put men and women to sleep without ever accepting salvation, without receiving the free gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the enemy's trick, trying to keep people from believing about God, from believing that they can receive the Holy Spirit. Because these people say that if there is no God, then I am not responsible to anyone. I can live and I can die as I please. But let me tell you something. In the quieter moments of reflection, the conscience of every man and woman whispers, there is a God, and only fools deny it. You know, to look up into the heavens and say there is no God simply because we cannot see him is as ridiculous as seeing a plane flying and saying that plane is pilotless. There is no pilot because we cannot see him. We cannot see the pilot, but there is a pilot in that plane. Because we see creation, that's why we believe in God. We see creation. We see the beauty that God created everywhere. Everywhere we look, whether we're seeing birds, whether we're seeing trees, we see humans. Everywhere we look, we're seeing God's amazing creation. So what about the argument from cause? Now, we know the world is here. It must have come from somewhere. You know, some people want to believe it came from a Big Bang or some other thing. But we know the world is here. Somebody or something must have caused it to come into being at one time or another. Here is a book. Someone must have written this book. No printing press can of itself produce a book, being it ever so modern a press. With the latest electronic gadgets, it's not going to do it. Someone had to write that book. Someone built this building. Someone built the children's room there, the multi-purpose room. Ask Pastor John. Someone built it. It didn't come to exist from nothing. It didn't come to exist because we had some sort of a gas explosion out there one day. And then all of a sudden, this Pastor John comes in, oh, good, we don't have to build a room now. We've got it ready. See, Someone created those trees out there. Someone operates the universe. If someone, for example, put all the pieces of a watch in a jar, and in a watch, believe it or not, there's a lot of pieces. I know because I worked in a jewelry shop, and we had a watch repairer. And every time someone brings a watch for repair, he'll take it out in pieces. I don't know how he used to do it. And he'll put it in this thing like a washing machine, small. And he puts this liquid solutions in it, and it starts spinning and cleans it. And then he puts it back together. So if someone put all the pieces of a watch in a jar, and the jar was shaking gently for a million years, the watch would not be accidentally put together and running with it. But some people want you to believe that, yes, that can happen. The only sensible answer to the problem of the existence of the world is the existence of an intelligent being whom we call God. Amen? Amen. What about the argument from design? A watch not only exists, it has a designer. Someone designed the watch. It was planned for a specific purpose. A watch was not designed for mosquitoes to live in. It was designed by a keen mind for the purpose of accurately telling the time. And an examination of the world and the things large and small shows that each is designed by an intelligent mind for a specific purpose in life, isn't it? And what about the moral argument? Man has an intellectual and oral nature, showing that the Creator must not be merely an inanimate force, but a living, intelligent, moral being. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says, God created man in the image and likeness of God. Male and female, he created them. And again in chapter 94, let's look at that one. Psalm chapter 94, verse 9. Psalm chapter 94. Okay, 94. Verse 9. Does he who implanted the ear not hear? Does he who formed the eye not see? The Bible tells us, does he who implanted the ear not hear? Does he who formed the eye not see? God has given men ears, eyes, has given us knowledge, has given us willpower. For these are the things that God possesses himself. He made us in his image, the Bible says. And conscience teaches men and women, of course, right and wrong. Teaches bad, good and bad. For the Creator is a moral being that is holy and loves righteousness, but hates evil. You know, there are many, many moral issues that are confronting Christians today. I don't have to tell you that. Christians today are confronted with many conflicting views of morality. People have different opinion concerning what is right and what is wrong. What once was generally accepted as good and true is now being challenged. Governments around the world are defining the concept of marriage. Businesses often operate with ethics that sanction lying, stealing, and cheating. So how does one know what is right and wrong in areas of morality? Everyone has a sense of right or wrong. but the standard of right or wrong often differs. Many people today live by feeling. If it feels good, it must be right. But the Bible warns against trusting in feelings, trusting in oneself. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to men, but in the end it leads to death. This person had relied too much on his own wisdom rather than turning in humility to God. And in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26. It says, "He who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe." Security can only come by trusting God, not by relying on oneself. Many people have destroyed themselves by following their own feelings. Other people follow their friends, and they say, everyone else is doing it. If everyone else is doing it, it must be good. This is very hard for parents today who are trying to raise their children with good morals, because these kids are seeing other kids doing the wrong thing, and they think it's normal. So for parents who are trying to bring their children with good morals, they find it very, very hard. And I just like to read one more verse in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. The Bible tells us that there are two gates and two roads. The wide gate leads onto a broad way and is therefore popular. The narrow gate leads onto a restricted way, which only a minority choose. The decision between life or destruction is made in response to the gospel. And this morning, if we feel the enemy perhaps been trying to put that seed into your mind that there is no God, or that there maybe there is no God, or maybe I'm wasting my time following this unknown God, just rebuke the enemy. Just rebuke him in Jesus' name. And in James, I think chapter 7 says, he has to flee. Don't let him bring that seed into your mind. You see, you need to make a decision. Are you willing to make the decision to believe in God again and to love him unconditionally if you feel that you've been threatened by the enemy in any way? Faith in God is a choice that we make. I know I have made that choice 30 years ago. And I am happy to profess that I believe in God. And my prayer that each one of you here can profess that. And because such faith is a source of great comfort and joy. And according to the Bible, it is necessary to please in God. If you're not sure this morning whether you have received the Holy Spirit, or perhaps you're finding it when you read the Bible, it's not interested anymore. You can't understand what it's saying, or you feel you're wasting your time. Then maybe it's time to invite the Holy Spirit to come into your life so he can make you aware of his word. Let's pray. Can I just read something very quickly before I close? This is something from a former AFL star. Some of you know who he is, Chris Yaren. And he said this. He said, "Ice ruined my life." Now, he has opened up here about his ice addiction that ruined his footy career. He said that turning to God helps change his life. This person, he was a Carlton and Richmond speedster. He described how drugs had ruined him ahead of his departure from the Tigers. In November 2016, Yaram credited Perth's Christian Fellowship Church for helping him beat the addiction and turn his life around. Yaram said things finally changed when he met God and accepted God. "The moment I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, everything changed," he said. "The darkness was gone, replaced with light that gives me joy and peace." Where do you think that joy comes from? Where do you think that peace came from upon this man? From the Holy Spirit, the moment he received the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord God, that we can stand here this morning proclaiming that you are the Lord, that you are God, that you are our Savior, that yes, we believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Holy Spirit reigns within each one of us. So, Father, I just pray that if there's anyone here, Lord God, who perhaps maybe, Lord God, they are allowing the enemy to come in and put these doubts into their minds, Father. Lord, they will make the decision today to say, "Yes, I believe in Jesus, and I want to follow Jesus, and I want to receive the Holy Spirit into my life." So, Father, we thank you again for this morning. May your blessing be upon each person here, Lord God, and upon each family that is represented here. In Jesus' name, amen.